Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Benzinga Cannabis Insider, the place you want to be for all things related to cannabis and investing. And today I'm joined by the seasoned journalist, Javi Hase. How are you, man?
Very good, very good. I'm doing great, honestly. And I like that seasoned. I've always been very spicy. That's all I can tell you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good, and I'm trying to learn from Elliot's presentations, but yeah, I still need a couple more years to try to get as perfect as he is on
that. You gotta bring that energy, that Elliot.
Oh, energy. Yeah. He's a power plant with energy. And well, actually, today we have a very interesting episode. We are excited because we have two guests, again, two distinguished guests from the Blink Group. Arnaud Dumas-Rolly, co-founder and chief experience and science officer, and Pizza Honey, the company's brand new CEO. And they're here to share their insights on the forefront of the cannabis vaping industry. We're talking about their transition process and also about their business strategy. Are you ready, Javi?
Yes, I am, and ready to learn a lot about the new products that they have, by the way. I'm looking at them and they look so cool. Kind of want one right now.
All right, let's jump right into the conversation then. Hello, Arnaud, Pete. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Good, outstanding. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us. I'm sorry if you see only half my face sometime, but traveling and interviewing is not fun.
It is.
Lighting's not very fine. We'll deal
with that. And before we jump into the questions, for those who may not be familiar with your company, can you tell us a little bit about you and what you do at the Blink Group?
All right. Well, at the Blink Group, we manufacture vaping hardware. Provide a slew of services that are linked to the vaping hardware itself. So financing, vendor managed inventory that we can dig in a little bit later, but really providing the vaping hardware. As for me, I was CEO of the Blink Group and co-founder until December 1st, where we transitioned that role over to Pete, who was COO. Pete, your turn.
All right, cool. Hi, Pete Sahani, currently CEO at the Blink Group, but also kind of a little bit, just stepping back a bit about, the Blink Group and where we really stand out. It's, you know, everybody talks about quality and the hardware and, you know, the things that are related to the hardware and the product itself. Where we tend to differentiate ourselves is more got to do with the services that we provide around the hardware. We just find that, you know, the quality, the safety, those things are, at this point for us, just table stakes, right? We've kind of matured into a different company that is more focused on the services that we provide and how we stand out. And, you know, to Arnaud's point, the vendor managed inventory programs that we've developed, the kind of the buy now, pay later, giving our customers the ability to have, you know, long-term credit that really helps everybody, right? We know that cash is tight in the industry, cash is tight for everybody, but we've kind of found ways to deal with those things and, you know, solve pain points for our customers. So along with launching all these funky new cool products that Javi was talking about earlier, you know, where we really stand out is those services, which we'll dig into a little bit more as we continue.
I'm curious about the pay now, you know, a buy now, pay later service in particular. How is that working out, right? You know, I'm sure you saw like a month ago this video that went viral about this dispensary owner bragging about not paying his vendors. I know we have, you know, I've seen some data as well around, you know, delinquency and payments, and it's at all-time highs for cannabis, right? So how is it working out for you, and how do you ensure that people actually pay later?
You know, there's a few ways that we've gone about doing it. One, you know, I think the safest way is that the bank accounts are connected, our bank account and, you know, the service provider that we use, we run this through a third party. So, you know, we're not kind of holding the bag here. It's the third party, really. But, you know, as far as even the third party is concerned, there's, you know, the bank accounts are connected with the customers, and there's an auto withdrawal feature that has been enabled. So, you know, every 30 days, it's just an auto withdrawal. As long as the cash is in the account, it'll work. And I got to tell you, we started doing this about almost a little bit over a year ago, and we've had zero issues with people not paying on time or, you know, not paying, right? The whole idea is, you know, there's been a lot of study done on the intent to pay, right? And we kind of follow that model. As long as we feel that there's an intent to pay, everything else tends to fall in line, right? And so the other thing that helps us really is that we're a supply product. If we stop that supply of product for non-payment, customer can't get their product to market, right? So it just perpetuates this cycle of they're not going to make any money. So we found that really, you know, people that have the intent to pay will pay, right? We've had a couple of, you know, I would call them a few late payments, because in the cannabis industry, people don't leave cash in their accounts, right? There's multiple reasons for that. I won't get into all those, but that's been really our issue, right? Our only issue with this has been, you know, customer didn't have enough cash in the account to cover that next payment. And, you know, kind of mechanically how that works is customer chooses up to 5 months to pay us back, and they pay it in 30 you know, day increments. So 5 increments over the 30 days. And right, where that really helps with working capital is, you know, it just stretches that dollar out, right? So they're not investing and putting up a few $100,000 for these devices. They can stretch that payment out. They can be in market. They've collected their money from their dispensaries, the ones that do pay, right? And that's how kind of the circle continues, right? It was just a kind of an innovative and a kind of a creative way to solve pain points.
And I think specifically to that 5 month period, I think what that enables the clients to do, and they see this immediately, is get the product, fill it, sell it, and then have the cash to pay. And I think that's really extending their cash flow is really that little bell that goes off like, oh, this is a good program.
Absolutely. And we're going to dive into business strategies in a moment. But before that, my first question for you, Arnaud, you have recently introduced a fresh new leadership at the Blink Group. So I wanted to ask you, in what matter did the company's succession process harmonize with its strategic objectives and vision? And also, how has Pete's leadership facilitated this synergy?
Well, I think there's basically four different prongs to this. And I think the main one is, and that we really wanted to be sure of, is the strategic alignment and the vision. Even before Pete joined the team, our goal was to hire a COO that understood the business implications and that had a long-term vision on the company. And I think that's really what stood out with Pete. And so literally from inception, when Pete joined the team, we knew we were going to go into this direction. Not to mention that I've been doing this for a while, and I welcome a lot of reprieve from the day-to-day role. But really doing these, the strategic alignment, in-depth sessions between the management, with the board, with the investors, leadership shadowing and role transitioning. So Pete being involved in all of the meetings with investors, with clients, and being out there, I think really smoothed all of that over, and it almost became a natural transition. Along with like a stakeholder engagement plan. All right, this is how we're going to be communicating with these stakeholders, joint meetings, briefings, communication strategy. I think that's really what assembled it. And I think the final nail in the coffin is that Pete is a great guy, and the vision and the passion for this industry, for what we're doing for consumer safety, is really the base of all of this.
I mean, what kind of impact have you seen so far in terms of how it affected the team, how it affected the financials of the company? You know, any positive or negative impact? Any learnings from this transition?
The main impact I believe we've seen is even before we had these discussions about Pete becoming CEO, is his role as COO was really pivotal in making what Blink is today and really streamlining all of the operations and the supply chain. Again, hands off to Pete. You've done a great job ramping up the company and bringing us to where we are. And the rest of the day-to-day, again, this was a natural transition. I don't even think anyone on the day we announced it was really surprised that this was happening. It's something that was being done organically over the course of the entire last year. And things really just fell into place. I don't think there were any hiccups, Pete.
No, I mean, from my perspective, no hiccups as such. And, you know, what have we seen? Kind of, I'll just touch on a few things that kind of stand out as far as what have we seen or, you know, how did this happen? To Arnaud's point, it was very organic and it just felt very natural to step into this and to be given this opportunity more than anything. But, you know, when we started this process, or when I first started, I think that was day one of actually starting this process of transitioning, right? So it's been like a long transition, but, you know, the company had launched zero new products in the 2 years prior or the year prior. Right. When I started and kind of, you know, got settled into the role, we launched two products in 2023. Right. Today in 2024, already we've launched three new products and we continue to be on that cadence of launching a new product at least once a month. Sometimes we do it twice a month if the stars align, right? But
insane.
That just speaks to, you know, the cadence that we've developed and this thing's becoming a machine where it's just, we've got this process down of vetting our product, putting it through rigorous tests before bringing it to market. And it seems like it's a very simple thing that we do, but there's about, I would say, 10 or 12 people behind the scenes that have just developed a very, you know, meticulous process of checking, rechecking, validating, tearing devices apart, putting them through the paces, lab testing them, focus group, all of these things. You know, it's like making a movie, right? All of these 30 things come together and then boom, on launch day, everybody's like, wow, this really happened, right? And so over the course of last year, we developed this process to just do this again and again and again, right? It's just been a lot of work. And then the other thing we've seen is also, you know, product quality has just been continuing to rise steadily, right? We started off with where the industry was, but let's call it a 1% non-conformance rate. And today we just finished doing our analysis on 2023. We're at 0.2% non-conformance today, right? So that's way ahead of where the space is. And, you know, kind of what I mentioned earlier, those are just table stakes for us now. Like we've, you know, those things are behind us, right? We now face new challenges and new things that we want to do. So those are just a couple of things that the team has seen. Everybody's very highly engaged. When we say engaged, like people enjoy coming to work. I'm the one that takes calls like first thing in the morning and then last thing at night. So I know that, you know, people are doing the same thing across the planet, our teams in China. Just, you know, the level of engagement is just amazing to see. And I think that comes from the sense of just people wanting to win, right? That's all we want to do is just win in our own roles, in the larger kind of context of things. We just want to win and we're here to win.
Yeah, the company, right, the company culture hasn't changed. We're still full steam ahead and everyone wanting to be part of this. And I think that was what I was a little bit afraid of, but not at all. It's just turned out perfectly well.
Yeah, sometimes leadership transitions can actually boost the company morale. So happy this is the case. And Pete, from an operational perspective, you were mentioning that this might be an opportunity maybe to launch new products or explore launching new products. How will the leadership transition influence the company's innovation trajectory? Do you think it will have any impact on the launch of new products?
You know, we talked about this during the process and even before, and we've been aligned on how we want to go about this. So, you know, there's no real change, right? And you also notice if you kind of dig into the who's still at the company and who isn't, there hasn't been much change. So it's kind of one of the things that we love doing here is, you know, we recognize who our team is, we recognize what their strengths are, what they bring to the table. And then all we do really as management is, you know, leverage those, right? You know, engender them and then leverage them, right? That's all we want to do. So there's not been, you know, this whole turmoil of, well, I want to go in this direction and you're going this direction. It's like been very aligned and very focused, right? Because our goals have, since day one, really to Arnaud's earlier point, coming in as COO, this was the plan, right? And this just worked out the way it did. It's just been amazing. You know, the team, there hasn't been a reshuffle of the team. There hasn't been, you know, new CEO coming in, you know, retrenching people, hiring a new team. We've just avoided that whole turmoil because we recognize over the course of time what our playing field is, right? And what our team is made up of. And I think the more companies that actually recognize that and take the time to develop their people, these things get a lot smoother and a lot nicer to deal with.
And develop that succession planning too, I think is very, very important. I think I haven't seen any other cannabis company where a transition has gone this smoothly. I don't even think I've seen another anywhere. So yeah, I think developing that plan and being very upfront about it from the start is very important.
I was looking at some of your new products like the IO Bijou, the Simple 2. Can you tell us a little bit about those products? And then more interestingly, at least to me, you know, how do you continue to innovate in the vape space, right? I kind of feel like, okay, this is kind of done, right? Like you can change how the vape looks, but like what else goes into it, right?
I think
really that innovation part, there's different types of innovation. And I think one of the most important ones, and often the most underlooked one, is sustaining innovation. Is how do we continue doing what we're doing, but do it better for the environment, better for the users, better for the company? How do we get all of this done? And I think this is really at the core of what we do. So we're constantly developing new manufacturing methods. I'll give you an example of cartridges and the center post, for instance. That requires a lot of CNC machining. CNC machining costs a lot, takes time, and is not very good for the environment because it requires a whole bunch of other machines. Well, we've developed a way to mold that center post instead of doing CNC machining. To the end user, it doesn't change much, but that actually adds a lot of processes. And a lot of efficiencies in there. Some of that sustaining innovation is about changing the way the products are put together. So instead of having 8 people who are going to be involved on that specific production line, well, you're only going to have 2. So a lot of efficiencies can be gained with sustaining innovation. Now, feeding directly into your question, Javi, about the devices. This right here is a Simple 2, a simple innovation that is being able to pull out the battery and allowing the consumer to recycle it. Sustainability is something that's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of changes. Unfortunately, a lot of the politicians and regulators out there think they snap a finger, do a law, and then everyone's going to become sustainable. No, it's these little steps. In this case, we are giving the opportunity to the consumer to be able to recycle it instead of just throwing the product out anywhere. That's just part of the battle. Especially with disposables, there's 3 different areas of sustainability that we can be working on. Number one is the packaging. There are companies out there that do sustainable packaging. There's also regulators that shouldn't be asking for 3 different types of childproof packaging when one is enough. There's the battery, which I just demonstrated, which is really the first prong that we're looking at. And then there's the cartridge or the tank. So for instance, this part right here that contains the cannabis in all of the US is considered hazardous waste. So how do you recycle this? In our case, you just pull it off and recycle the battery. But what do you do with this top part? And that still requires a lot of education on how these products need to be treated and how they can be disposed of in an environmentally safe way. I can give you an example because we've done the work on the battery side today. Recycling two of these batteries allows us to create one more. So you can immediately see the operational efficiencies that are created with these kind of programs. And I think the more we speak to people and the more that is explained to industry, the more they'll understand that in the long run, it's a winning strategy. It's not just spending money to say we're going to be sustainable. Sustaining innovation, to answer your question in two words, is the key, I believe, to putting out these new products.
Absolutely. And you mentioned politicians, regulations, and also looking at the search for efficiencies. And drawing on your extensive experience in the vaping products, how do you anticipate regulatory landscapes impacting the cannabis vaping industry? And how is Blink prepared to navigate these changes?
I think right now the biggest impact that we see everywhere, at least in the U.S., is the fact that all of these cannabis vaping products are put into the same bag as nicotine vaping products, which are regulated under the FDA. So when there are flavor bans for nicotine vaping products, little side quote, having been in nicotine before, flavor bans don't help because everyone who switched to vaping has gone away from tobacco flavors. But those flavor bans sometimes are included in different states. Like right now, there's a bill in Minnesota where they're calling for flavor bans in all vaping products, as including cannabis. What is a cannabis flavor? Is it a terpene? Is it a flavonoid? What is it? So you're basically going to ban all terpenes. You're going to create a distillate-only market for everyone, and everyone is going to have the same oil. And I think it's more along those lines. What I do see as becoming an issue moving forward is going to be the appeal to children. Unfortunately, a lot of people in our industry still use these bright colors, these drawings, and all of that in their marketing. And I can tell you for a fact, having experienced this in nicotine vaping, that is going to pose a problem at one point. We see it pop up in certain states right now. But I think the bright side of the story is going to be Europe. Europe, nicotine vaping has been embraced. Being French, I get reimbursed by Social Security because I switched from smoking to vaping. I get 65 euros every year to get a new device. So I think that cannabis vaping, as the industry and the regulators in Europe start allowing cannabis, is going to be pretty big.
Just, you know, something to add there to that, if you don't mind, you know, how are we prepared for some of the regulation coming down the line? You know, one of the advantages we have is somebody like Arnaud on our team, right? So that keeps us ahead of the curve by knowing about the regulations or knowing which laws are written, but specifically when we talk about product, it's this whole new line of, you know, center postless devices that we've been launching over the course of a year now, a little bit over a year actually. You know, that takes out metals, right? The concern constantly with vaping devices is heavy metals and how they react and the leaching of the oil against that, all that metal in there, right? So what we've done is just to start eliminating the metal or the content of metal that's in there, right? Now we're talking about the plastics that are there. So then we go through this rigorous process of checking that, you know, the plastics are actually FDA compliant or approved. And we do constant like spot checks with our vendors. But really the core of that is removing as much metal, especially that center post, out of the product to begin with, right? It's led to not only just a much better experience for the consumer, but it's also a much safer experience, right? less metal, less chance of issues. Don't need the constant checking, right? So it just helps like upstream through the supply chain and downstream all the way to our consumer. It's just identifying that one really drastic or major thing that we could do to help this, right? Then we add in the sustainability side of it. We start getting closer and closer to where the regulations are going and kind of being ahead of it, actually.
Super interesting. Arnaud, Pete, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to having you again sometime very soon and hope to see you at the upcoming Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in Hollywood, Florida, April 16th and 17th. For anyone watching, listening, bzcannabis.com for more information. Come meet Arnaud, come meet Pete, come meet us, the entire Benzinga team. And, you know, stay tuned on benzinga.com/cannabis to learn every, you know, last piece of news about the Blink Group, their innovations, and what's next for the vaping space as a whole. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Fantastic conversation. Thank you very much.